Now we're Corden.
Oh, yay, Corden. Woo! Always be Corden.
You're listening to Pot of Wonder, a podcast where we create a world for a tabletop role-playing game. Each week, we take a genre trope and random Wikipedia article and turn fact into fiction in 15 minutes. This season, we're building a world in the genre of murder mystery.
So should we start this, John?
You want to talk us on?
Pot of Wonder, coming back after a holiday hiatus. The Krampus has come and gone, as has 2019. Krampus has just straight up taken that year into the river and drowned it like the worst children.
Good riddance,
yep.
2019.
Yep. As is the German tradition. I'm here with Danny and Megan.
Hello, yes. Hello.
Hello.
From the future.
2020. Yes, it's officially.
Technically the past, I guess, because we're recording this. But
Oh, geez, Danny.
It's a paradox.
Danny, some of us were out late drinking last night and got way too little sleep. That's my brain don't work for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming to you with a hot cup of coffee and just a soothing head pats and a blanket.
I do have a blanket. Yeah, and I do have non-alcoholic seltzer.
Yeah, I got a water and a Batman robe.
Got a weighted blanket and rum and Coke inside the rum bottle.
Nice.
That's efficient.
Nice. Yeah.
It's efficient. Mm-hmm. And you're drinking out of a glass, which is still classier than drinking out of a red Solo cup. So, you know, you're still winning.
Yeah. It's a tall, thin glass that I don't have to wash afterwards.
Exactly.
That's true. Added benefits. Time to be humans. Briefly, I want to touch on the fact that we all saw Cats over the hiatus.
Yes.
And
we saw Cats.
We experienced it.
Yes, that was an experience.
Yeah, and I think, not going to lie, not to speak for all of us, but I think we're all changed by the experience.
That's one way to put it. Yeah.
I'm honestly willing to go out on a limb and say Cats good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a good movie.
Not good, just entertaining from beginning to end. Incredibly watchable.
Non-stop things occurring.
Yes.
Not story, certainly. Not action, even.
Things
happening one after another.
It is a story of ritual sacrifice. That's what is actually happening. Ritual sacrifice via hot air balloon.
That's really how you get to the Heaviside layer.
I guess we just didn't stay for the after the credit sequence when they would have answered that question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. No, it was just too disturbing to stay after Judi Dench just kept repeatedly breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, she Deadpooled that, but while all the other characters around her watched her do it, but weren't looking at the... It was weird. And then watching them react...
Yeah, the after credits scene is just a regular human walks in and just says, "This is what people look like." And you see him in scale next to these human cat things you've been watching for an hour and a half.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, with very inconsistent scale to the rest of society. And then your mind just melts.
But I would 100% see this movie again for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, definitely.
Same.
I can't stop thinking about it. I shouldn't. Yeah. I shouldn't, but I am.
I have thought about Cats more and more favorably than Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, they both kind of were visual spectacles, entertaining from beginning to end, full of fan service and more of a checklist than a story. I mean...
Cats just needed more MacGuffins, and then they'd be pretty much the same movie.
And more people in red hats angry at it. Start in 2020 on the right foot. So today we are going to talk about our suspect. As a recap for this season, we're choosing the categories this time. Do we want to generate our articles?
Yeah, I put the call out on Twitter for listener-submitted articles. Don't know if you saw this, Eddie, but we actually got a submission.
Ooh, yeah. Do that one if it's, I mean, if we all like it.
Yeah, if we just got the one, then we can just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it.
Don't even have to do a countdown.
Fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah, cool. Sure.
Okay, I'll go ahead and throw it out then. So this was submitted by Ali J. Shivka at Ali JS Design on Twitter.
Ah, I know her.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
Friend of the pod, friend of the podcaster.
Yeah. Yay. So,
huzzah.
And, oh yes, thank you, Ali.
Yes,
Ali has submitted Grundy's Wonders. Grundy's Wonders is a Tyne Tees television architecture program presented by John Grundy. Grundy explores buildings in Northeast England, Cumbria, and Yorkshire. Each program has a particular theme or type of building, and Grundy names his favorite piece of architecture his Grundy's Wonder and gives a big boot to things he dislikes.
Yes. 1,000% yes.
Yeah.
I love this.
This is... Wow. This is very good.
Number of episodes, 30? Question mark?
30? Question mark. Because honestly, with British TV shows, how many episodes really?
A
season is 3 to 5 episodes, varying lengths.
Yeah, well, it doesn't even list series 1 through 4. It's just series 5 and 6. I don't think you start numbering at 5. I'm even more confused.
When you see the episodes and places visited, it just says a couple of the episodes.
Yeah. Episodes 1 and 3 of series 5.
And then for series 6, it's program 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
There are like 2 people who are really passionate about this, but keep meaning to get back to it. But yes, because this is short enough, I think we could kind of just even hash this out while we're looking at it. Do we want to just go ahead and start the timer?
Just for the sake of editing, we'll say, hey, we're taking a brief break, and then just dive right into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Da-da-da.
Hello, Wanderers. Happy New Year. 2 weeks into it. I think I speak for everybody here at the Pod of Wondered podcast dungeon when I say we are happy to be back on our bullshit. Apologies for the audio quality on this episode. It was a remote recording, and my microphone seems to have been cursed with some sort of audio gremlin. Just bear with it for this week and the next, and hopefully our next recording will be an in-person one. Thank you again to Ali J. Shivka for the article submission. If you would like to hear us turn your Wikipedia article into a part of our world, follow us on Twitter at Pod of Wonder. That way, you'll see when we put out the next call for submissions. You'll also see cat pictures, memes, and tabletop RPG talk. We're a good follow, and I don't say that just because I'm the one doing all the posting. Now, let's get back to the show.
Okay.
Pod of Wonder, welcome back. The break was for the listeners, not for us. I think we might have to, just because this is the rule break in season, is we might have to look at some other articles inside this article.
I want to know who he is at his core. Who is he?
There's a lot of things he likes. It doesn't tell us much about him.
He just likes exploring towns. Between 87 and 96, he was a presenter on the BBC series Townscape. He presented the popular Town Portraits, which were later transmitted by BBC Two. Grundy Goes was another show he did. And again, more historical characters in the histories and the building. So he likes history and buildings.
That's pretty much the bulk of even his personal article. I found a Christmas letter from 2004 I guess he just wrote to for the friends of the Beamish Museum.
The Beamish Museum. It's
very good.
Oh, please, like, please do give us a rating.
Okay. And pull up a what I assume this man sounds like.
If you weren't there, let me tell you that we had a sort of pretendy carol service in the Methodist chapel in the mining village. I say pretendly, not because we pretended to sing carols. We sang them for real and with gusto, accompanied with even more gusto by Bob Walker on the harmonium. My goodness, that man can rock. I say pretendy because beyond the carols, we cease to be a proper service.
Wow.
Nice.
And it just goes on like a Christmas newsletter that deeply damaged families put out every year, just sort of telling you how their celebration was. I have to say I was impressed at the efficiency at which the friends of Beamish can put away a dainty morsel. Stuck was at the door greeting latecomers. Nibbled morsels remained a stranger to my lips.
This guy sounds like he's written a lot of recipes on websites that start with, "When I was a child."
Oh, yes.
Tons of narrative and pictures when you really just want to know how much fucking cinnamon goes into this thing.
I'm on my fucking phone. Oh my God, how many times I have to scroll?
This wholesome and floridly prosed man is going to be a murder suspect, and
I love it.
I wonder how we're going to do that.
With gusto and more gusto. I think we can, because you know what? Let's go ahead and start the timer before we get into it. Meow. So, Dan, you brought up where this is a wholesome man that we're turning into a murder suspect.
Yeah. He seems very nice. He likes architecture.
So I think he could be a case of a guy in the wrong place at the wrong time, because in the spirit of the article, there's so much missing. So he doesn't have an alibi that he can't account for the hours where he was, or when the murder happened. Yeah, so it's, you know, the 30 with a question mark. That was like the first thing I thought of. Like, boom, no alibi.
Mm-hmm. Usually, like, prime suspects in murders have a like an existing antagonistic relationship with the victim. What did this nice person have to do to like get him in bad with our hedgehog?
Big question first: what kind of animal is John Grundy?
Yeah, is he a surface dweller or underwater dweller?
I think he's a cuddly surface dweller.
Yeah, sounds like a very like cute name, maybe something big and like clumsy,
maybe like a bear.
Yeah, that was my kind of first thought too.
Like the logo for Grundy's Wonders has him in like just this green jumper, I guess we call it, like just with his arms outstretched. So imagine like a big bear hug.
Yeah.
So he's friendly, which is why people are surprised. But maybe like the one time he was a little. He was a vocal opponent to one of the hedgehog's initiatives.
Because he was, I mean, Grundy is heavily involved in architecture. So maybe like his issue is kind of like with that undersea land dweller highway.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it was interfering with plans for something he wanted to build. Ooh. Or he considered it like an eyesore, the way rich people don't like wind generators off of their.
So John Grundy also has a thing for history. So maybe the highway would destroy something like an old, like some sort of like ancient. Like he's got a respect for the sea and like its traditions and history, and would destroy some sort of ancient sea dweller chapel or something.
Oh yeah, like some kind of like they're not. It's not like considered a historical landmark in terms of like there's obviously no protection for it, but it's still like important and like maybe emphasized like it is an example of some like key historical architecture under the sea. Yes. And like the bridge would mess with that somehow.
I think it would, you know, the sea highway would just bulldoze right over that thing. It's a whole hitchhiker's guide.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. Just straight through. I'm looking. So I, again, we've got like an outspoken, friendly guy, but I feel like there's got, because no one suspects him, there's got to be something that comes up about his past, maybe, where it'd be people would kind of maybe think, okay, well, maybe he's hiding something. So the follow-up show to that one was Grundy's Northern Pride. And I'm thinking maybe there's like a regional difference between him and the hedgehog. Like he, some sort of like maybe he went to a, like his name was found on a register of like Northern land. I don't know, whatever the Northern, wherever he's from, like some sort of extremist group.
I was thinking like some kind of like eco terrorism, but not like quite to that level, but still like, you know, fucking shit up, like disrupting things,
like he's the guy who shows up at town meetings with like a speech prepared.
Oh yeah.
To like just kind of gum up things bureaucratically and like rally people.
Oh yeah.
He's not out there picketing. He's going through like official processes.
I like that.
But like when he was younger, he definitely got in trouble a couple times before he figured out his the better way of doing it, which is to just show up and like mess up the bureaucracy. Ooh.
I think that's what he's known for, is his big boot.
Like, yes.
He would always like, that'd be kind of like his signature, like his younger days troublemaking is to like kick over things and people.
What if he took off one of his work boots and used it as a gavel? Like to, at the, when he called him to the podium, and if the council started to gavel him and try to shout him down, he'd pull out his giant steel-toed bear boot and start banging it on the podium in kind of a response and just out-shout them.
Let's
see. But I to add some ambiguity to it, though, I'm thinking maybe a couple light brushes with the law in his youth, but maybe I again, going back to that pseudo eco terrorist group idea, there's maybe he wasn't necessarily, or maybe he denies he was part of him, but his name appears on a register at one meeting, like at a sign in sheet that somebody found. And maybe like one person has a vague recollection of him being there. But it's kind of like, was he part of this group or wasn't he?
Was he actually part of it, or was it like he was checking it out and seeing, like he got invited by a friend and, you know, so like, no, he doesn't really talk about it and tries to keep it under wraps more or less. Cause it's just like, oh, my youth.
He was on a date, and the date was like, "Hey, you wanna go meet some of my friends?" And he's like, "All right." And the date takes him to like the basement of a church, and he signs in and realizes there's some weird flags around, and maybe a box of machinery he can't identify. But some bandanas. He's starting to get some weird ideas and sweating it out. At least that's the story he tells.
Yeah.
So how does he end up as the suspect in this? Like, where does he antagonize Milos Bubowski?
Well, we've talked about a bar before, I think. Or was that part of the Lost Sessions?
As the Lost Session.
Okay. Well, then, maybe that's part of it. He was like, riled up. Maybe he had made a speech that same day because he knew, like, these delegates were going to be around. He got super riled up.
Ooh, they were having a like a closed door meeting to decide, and he crashed the meeting and like made this big fuss, and the media is all like,
"Oh,
the
big
boot is back."
There was a claim of a quote an attempt on the ambassador's life earlier when he threw the boot.
Yeah.
Allegedly. But if you go back and look at the security footage, there is very clearly no attempt to throw it. It is like the clumsiest slip out of the hands possible.
I
just happened to let it fly in the right direction. They will claim he attempted that day. And people, you know, it's reported in certain news outlets.
And he says something like threatening as he's dragged off by guards. Over your dead body.
Yes, I like that we're sticking with the British accent for him.
Uh-huh.
Despite there being no England. You know what? Everyone in the northern, areas that he's from has that accent.
Or that's just the mm-hmm. bear accent is British.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Ooh, yeah. I
hope we continue that trend, assigning different animals different. No, you know what? That could get problematic real fast. Forget.
I was going to say that could get bad.
As a group of three honkies, that would get real, real terrible.
we'd have a very limited repertoire in terms of what we could do without it being very bad.
Kind of everything British-ish, New Zealand, Australian, the honky accents kind of all blend together. So yeah, that would... Yeah, anyway, so this bear.
Bear. Fun fact, apparently bears are extinct in the British Isles.
Oh.
And then my search results turned porn real fast.
Oh, God.
British muscle bear.
That's one of his nicknames, the muscle
and
bear.
And then Bear Grylls.
Oh, nope, my God.
He's muscle bear. He's the muscle bear.
Gimble Shanks the muscle bear.
No.
Sorry. That,
an inciting incident. What is his alibi?
Well, I think he doesn't.
I know he doesn't have much of one.
Well, maybe he was. Maybe they kind of like found him in a gutter somewhere, because after he got dragged out, he went out in kind of like a bender, and so. Any witness that might have seen him anywhere is kind of might have been drunk and or unreliable and might not want to talk to the cops. Maybe that's part of it, where some of the circles he does still travel in are a little rougher and people might be a little less willing to come forward.
Yeah, so nobody really supports him now because of like he's kind of alienated the radicals who he came up with by joining with these nonprofits and like process followers. And then those types don't really support him kicking in doors and throwing boots at people. So everybody's kind of disavowed him. They're not willing to back up any kind of alibi he would try to make for himself.
Yeah, when like literally before, the day before, people would have described him as a, you know, big, friendly, and huggable, but suddenly he's become public enemy number one. And because he doesn't have the alibi, it's easier to pull out the bad traits.
Yeah. What do we think about making this kind of like undersea people don't really have the same kind of preconceptions about bears that surface dwellers would? So what if there's a kind of pressure for them to like play up these bears, they're big or dangerous, they got claws, and like they kind of want to make a really quick case out of this, like we've got our guy, it's the predator.
So that he's got support from like sharks.
Ooh,
and piranhas, because the media is using that. See those teeth and those claws, and they're
I got those teeth too. What are you saying? What are you trying to say here?
I'm sorry, I'm a mother of three, and we are very loving and gentle, and I don't support fighting in my household.
Mm-hmm. I'm a registered nurse shark.
Yeah, so but at the same time, the undersea courts are like, let's just make this quick. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of get this over with. So they want a trial ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's like an unexpected like allyship within these kind of sea predators and other like land-based folks who are saying like, no, this is, you're stereotyping, you're profiling.
Yes. I love all of this. Does he have any friends or supporters still?
I think he would. Not many, though.
Mm. Yeah, like what animal would be his lone supporter, like right now?
Let's see. Are there any like animals or things kind of mentioned in the articles?
Well, do we want to extend for five?
I don't know. I feel like we're okay with where we are.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
I can. Maybe that can be one of the hot seat questions.
Yeah. Is, Danny has left his keyboard.
Oh, no. Danny.
How dare he?
Danny. Danny.
Please come back, Danny. He's going to have to hear all this later.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is going to lead to a dueling banjos-esque call and response of, Deborah!
Oh, God.
Danny!
Oh, God.
Calling it now.
No, I don't want it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just to catch you up, we looked on IMDb for John Grundy, and him or his shows are not on there. Oh. Yeah. So for a second, I'm like, is this some sort of, like, deep Wikipedia prank? And no, there are videos of him online. But they look so delightfully British and slow. Just for, even from the previews, there's, like, a nice, like, kind of hazy yellow tint to them. Oh, so good. All right, so hot seat. You are Irma Bland, overworked public defender and tortoise, who is representing John Grundy in this case. And your three questions. What you got?
Okay. First, I'd like to know what charges my client is being arraigned upon.
The murder of the ambassador.
That's it? Nothing else?
You know what? Sea law is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Try to bundle those charges into one and just kind of let the judge go from there.
Mm-hmm.
The stacking charges is more of a land law sort of deal, which, you know, as you are barred in both land and sea law. In certain coastal towns. So you should be aware of those primary differences. I'm actually kind of disappointed, counselor.
First, I would like to file a motion to dismiss this case on the grounds of a lack of jurisdiction by the arresting officers. My client is a land-based creature who lives on the land and thus is not held to the standards of this water-based legal system.
Megan, we didn't discuss who we are, but I want to go out on a limb and say we're documentarians.
Yeah, yeah.
Of some sort.
Yes.
Doing the true crime documentary.
Yes.
Or like TV special.
Definitely.
So yeah, I don't know why you're filing that motion to us. We are merely running cameras and asking questions.
I'm sorry, I am terribly overworked, and I forget who I am talking to sometimes.
I understand. It's very clearly a high profile case amongst many of your others. Do you have one more question for us?
Yes. Who is the judge assigned to this case?
I don't have it in my notes, Megan. I think you might.
Oh, it's a Herman Melville, the beluga whale.
Ooh, water mammal. That's a good sign. Okay.
Oh, no. He's they call him the whale shark, even though he is a beluga. He's an albino terror, notoriously salty. He would not like that I was making that little crack there. But yeah, he's no fun. No fun in the courtroom. Might be a little tough for you. I'm sorry about that.
He and I go way back.
Oh.
Also, Pod of Wonder, Albino Terror.
Oh, we're sorry to any albino listeners we may have.
Yeah.
With 3 minutes on the clock, Irma, you mentioned you and the judge go way back. Can you define that relationship between you and the judge?
Actually, I happened to be one of his students at the... while I was attending law school, it was a sort of a big to-do getting him up onto land. There had to be a great big tank built and constantly refreshed with salt water. But he had a keen legal mind, and it was an honor to learn from him. He thought of me as a particularly adept pupil.
Hmm. Megan?
So what's your primary defense for this case? What tactics are you going to be using?
Well,
not to to give too much away to the prosecutors here, but trying to build a very strong character defense. My client is not the type of person who would, you know, commit such a violent murder, particularly on a public official and a fellow mammal. He has a long history of peaceful activism and proper channels to carry on his actions. And in addition, he's just a big cuddly fella, likes to give hugs.
Now, as I mentioned before, this is a very high profile case, potentially one of the most high profile of your career. What's it been like dealing with the media in all this?
Well, the media is a constant frenzy, of course. However, I spend a lot of time going to and from various courtrooms. As a public defender, it is my job to protect those disadvantaged, unable to afford lawyers of their own. And so I just ignore all of that, and I focus on my work. And very occasionally, I can sort of swish along with an air-based propulsion to fly past them.
What other cases are you currently working on, if we might ask?
Well, incidentally, there was a bit of a bar brawl recently between a spider and a couple of his friends. There were apparently some union workers who got into a bit of a row, but you know, some minor property damage, nothing really attention grabbing. Of course, you might as well just throw out the whole thing.
Perfect timing. Nice. Yeah. Danny, I appreciated that little detail at the end. That's not something we discussed before, the spider and the bar brawl.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
That's world building.
Yeah, no, yeah. Definitely something we might come back to later. A little pin we can drop and maybe dive back into. not the first episode of 2020, but the first season proper episode.
Back in the habit.
Yes. Yes. And fortunately, no nuns are involved. Yeah. Let's just cut there or something. No,
yeah.
I'm rambling. This is,
yeah.
This is good.
This has been Pod of Wonder. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Pod of Wonder.
I'm Danny. You can find me on Twitter at DannyPlaysRPGs. And you can find the games I make at DannyMakesRPGs.itch.io.
I'm Megan. You can find me on Instagram at ILivedInBooks. And you can find me on Twitter at OwlBurning.
And I'm Eddie. You can find me on Instagram at MonstersByEd and find the games I make at StrangeButTrueGames.
Our intro theme is Opening by Kumiko. Our closing theme is Epic Cinematic by Scott Holmes.
And then,
But
what was the episode before that?
We did Suspect and Suspect. Media coverage.
Mm. Oh, we did Suspect and Media. Oh, we did two episodes?
Yeah.
Wow, the pod juice
was like a
pod juice was a flowing.